It is 7:45 a.m. here on 2SER Breakfast. You are with myself, Tess Connery. I'm going to be here keeping you company until the clock does strike 9 a.m. Now, if you occasionally tune into state or federal politics in Australia, you'd be familiar with those regular announcements from our leaders that Australia is broke or in serious debt, and that we need to reel in government spending to balance the budget, all that fun stuff. These economic warnings have been made even after 27 years of economic growth and a world record resources boom in Australia. Over a couple of generations, a whole range of public assets and services, from electricity to aged care, even our public monuments, have been quietly sold off, privatised, or had their budgets trimmed in line with the values and ideas of an ideology called neoliberalism. We're told public spending is inefficient and that we have to deregulate markets, cut taxes, slash wages, if Australia is to remain globally competitive. Meanwhile, the gap between rich and poor in Australia continues to expand. Economist Dr. Richard Dennis has examined the powerful rhetoric of neoliberalism in Australia and pointed out its strange contradictions in the latest quarterly essay titled Dead Right, How Neoliberalism Ate Itself and What Comes Next. He joins us on the line now. Richard, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Good morning.
So for a bit of background, I guess, could you tell us how we define neoliberalism and where it really started to make an impact in Australian politics?
Yeah, look, neoliberalism is the ideology, the set of ideas that suggests that the smaller the government, the better, and that in turn privatising and deregulating and outsourcing activity will always make not just a better society, but a more efficient economy. And look, you can really kind of credit Margaret Thatcher for really popularising and really first implementing this strategy back in the 80s.
And so neoliberals, they've always argued, I guess, that governments and bureaucracies are, in air quotes, wasteful, and that the free market is more efficient. What impact does that sort of rhetoric have on, democracy in Australia?
Well, look, you can't have a democracy without politicians. So whenever you hear people say, look, all politicians are inefficient and all politicians are hopeless, what they're really saying is democracy is a bad idea. And when you hear people say government is inefficient or government is wasteful, again, they're saying that there's no point organising ourselves to provide health or education and that we should, you know, leave all activities to the market. But of course, you know, when you scratch the surface, what does that even mean? The so-called free market, the health system in Australia is the private health system in Australia is heavily subsidised. Private schools in Australia are heavily subsidised. So we're spending a lot of government money on health and education. The question is it fairer or do we get better outcomes when it's organised through the government or organised through individual schools and hospitals? And when we look around the world, we see America's got the most sort of privatised health system in the developed world. It's also got the most expensive and inequitable health system in the world. And the big picture point in the essay is, it's up to us to choose what kind of things we want, but we do have a choice. To be told we can't afford to do something, well, as you said in the intro, we're one of the richest countries in the world. We can afford to do anything.
It almost seems like a sort of dangerous outlook on life to go forward with.
Dangerous to feel that we're rich or dangerous to feel we've got no choice?
No choice I was referring to, but I suppose it could be either, honestly.
We should feel rich. I mean, if Australians feel poor, and we do, collectively we feel our country can't afford to do things, then how on earth do we think that people live in the vast majority of countries around the world? We really are privileged. We really are lucky to live in such a rich country. But one of neoliberalism's best tricks is that it's made us feel poor despite 27 years of economic growth that they love to brag about. So to tell people that there is no choice, to tell people that we can't have a health system like the UK's, we can't have an education system like Finland's, we can't have free university education like Germany, to tell people we have no choice, which is what neoliberalism does, the real problem there is that it sort of says democracy and elections don't matter. Because if we've got no choice, then of course it doesn't matter who's in. But of course we do have choice. There's 200 countries around the world. They all do things quite differently. And we can afford to do anything anyone else in the world can afford to do if we want to do it. And that's what democracy is about, deciding what we collectively want to do.
Now, you're right as well about how many current Australian Conservatives no longer actually believe in neoliberalism. I thought that was a really interesting point. Do you mind expanding on that for us?
Yeah, sure. So Matt Canavan, the Minister for Resources, loves subsidies. He wants to subsidise coal mines. And I love subsidies. I want to subsidise dental care and aged care. So as a Conservative, I agree with him entirely. Subsidies work. We just disagree on what Australia needs more of. Similarly, Tony Abbott thinks we should nationalise coal-fired power stations. He thinks the government should buy them back. Well, I think the government should buy back the Commonwealth Bank, and I think we should run a whole bunch of things directly the way we used to and the way plenty of other countries do. So Tony Abbott and I agree that nationalisation is a good idea sometimes. We just disagree what things need to be nationalised. So we pretend there's big ideological differences in Australian politics, but there's not. The right love to regulate. They love regulating unions and love regulating charities. They don't have a philosophical problem with regulation. They love regulation. We just need a democratic debate about what we should subsidise, what we should regulate, and what we should nationalise. So, yeah, what I try and do in the essay is say, let's stop calling these people neoliberal. Let's stop calling them ideologues. They're not. They're just pragmatic people that like subsidising things they like and that like regulating things they hate. But we can all have an opinion about what we like and what we hate.
Ah, politics. That just seems the way to go.
Well, politics matters, you know. We're one of the richest countries in the world. Our federal government spent $460 billion on our behalf last year, and it's politics that decides who gets the $460 billion. Politics is really important, and neoliberalism's best trick is saying, don't look, doesn't matter, there are no alternatives. But there's $460 billion worth of alternatives.
Richard, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for popping by this morning.
Thank you.
That was Richard Dennis, Chief Economist at the Australia Institute and author of the most recent quarterly essay, Dead Right, How Neoliberalism Ate Itself and What Comes Next. We'll pop all the links up at 2SER.com for Richard's essay. You can find that, as I said, 2SER.com just after the show this morning.